IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
And we've got a great chat coming up soon, a great interview, and we're going to be talking to Megan Harrington Johnson, the managing partner at HJW Attorneys. Megan, a very good afternoon.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for making time. And I should imagine it's quite dark outside and quite cold. So thank you. We do appreciate it. And Megan, today we've been chatting about misinformation. And something that I haven't spoken about, which I thought I'd wait till we chatted to you, is can one be charged for sharing misinformation unintentionally?
That's a very important word that you just used there, is the word unintentionally, because currently the criminal justice system, as it relates to misinformation, dictates that you can only be criminally charged if you intentionally share misinformation. So, number one, if you share misinformation that is intended to cause some sort of damage or to incite some sort of violence towards a person or a group of persons, that's the main category of offense for which you could be charged. But the important thing there is the word intent. That's insofar as criminal prosecution is concerned.
Okay, so unintentionally. So what would happen then, Megan, if I sort of need to share information that I've sourced online? And what would your advice be on that?
So the difficulty is that there are two aspects of our law that need to be taken into consideration. You must always remember that there are civil consequences for actions, and there are also possible criminal consequences for actions. So for civil consequences, you can essentially be sued for your conduct. So somebody can take you to task in court and sue you for financial remedy if you, let's say, defame them or bring them into disrepute. And oftentimes that is what happens in these types of cases, is that whilst you are not sharing misinformation intentionally, you are sharing information that has not necessarily been verified or proven to be true, and thus damages somebody else's reputation, and in those instances you can be civilly held liable. It's a very difficult test to pass the have you intentionally shared it, because the state must therefore prove that if the intent is actually to deceive or to cause harm or to cause damage. But the civil test is much lower than that criminal barrier.
I mean, and what happens when if I get different answers online? Because, I mean, that's happened to me so many times, where you ask a question, you get different answers. So should we just quote the source of that information? What should we do?
I think the important thing to remember is that you must never share anything as if it is gospel or as if it is 100% the truth. So, yes, my advice would absolutely be, I heard via so-and-so that X, Y, and Z was stated. Children are being kidnapped in KZN by this group of people, and immediately share that that piece of information, because I know that that's what's just been happening at the moment, and the police are saying that their resources could be better used rather than chasing down false reports, which is 100% the case. So sharing anything that's unverified is always a dangerous and a thin line to tread.
And I mean, it's so, yeah, it is. It's so dangerous. And I mean, I know we can check, we can look at the content, we can check, go to a website, we can check if it's credible. But what else? What other advice have you got for us when, particularly using, because we all do, we search information online, and I've made important decisions sometimes, and I've had actions that I've taken around that information. So, I mean, what do we do going forward? What's your best advice?
So I think my advice is that when people are interacting specifically on social media, because I think a lot of this debate pertains specifically to platforms like Facebook, Instagram, etc., is to always conduct yourself in a manner as if you were a publisher of a newspaper, because you are, as soon as you write something up on your Facebook page, for instance, you are subject to the exact same laws and rules that the editor of the Sunday Times would be subject to, because you are disseminating and you're publishing information. So whilst you may, as you say, you get different answers and look at different sites and try to verify things, you're never 100% sure. As I said, you need to have the intention there to be held criminally liable. And if something is not pinpointing an individual specifically or a group of people in particular, and you share it, it's highly unlikely that you're ever going to be found guilty of, and I'm saying this in the civil sense, guilty of the of defamation, and you have to pay some sort of retribution. But it is always a possibility. So you've got to look at what you're posting. Number one, is it harmful? Number two, is it harmful of a specific person or group of people? And number three, have you made some attempts to try and verify it, and how certain are you that it is true?
It's
unlikely that you would ever be publishing anything that was designed to incite violence or to incite damage. But if you are doing that, then you are 100% guilty of a crime, as we've seen under the Cyber Crimes Act and also the Disaster Management Act when it came to COVID. You know, we had all of those arrests happening early in 2020 when people were posting misinformation relating to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Absolutely. And Megan Harrington Johnson, Managing Partner at HJW Attorneys. Megan, thank you so, so much for giving us that insight. And I think today's chat on misinformation has been really, really interesting. And Megan, thank you so much and have a good evening.